And it was this idea that was different from what was going on in the world. In the world at that time, there was kings and tyrants and all these things that were in place. But yet these people had this idea of this land of the free and the home of the brave. And I believe that this nation was born and that God intended this nation to be born. I believe in a sense, now while I don't have anything scriptural to back this up, I believe in a sense that we are living in a New Testament Gentile promised land. Because you look at our history, you look at things that happened, that it's very clear that God had his hand on the foundation of this nation. There are many times that we should have been defeated and God would do amazing things like send a rainstorm at the right time that messed up the British Navy from getting where it was supposed to be. You know, all through the history, you can read all these stories, and while it gets pushed aside and swept under the carpet in this day and time, it is very clear that God had his hand on this nation. As we celebrate this nation's birthday, it's really a celebration of freedom. You notice today there's a whole lot of stuff that was in what was saying and what was done talking about freedom. Now, we're not one of those churches. I don't sit down and plan every detail of the service. I give our worship team a lot of leeway. I believe in putting God-appointed leaders into where he intends them to be and let them flourish and move, just operating within some general guidelines. And yet again and again and again, just like this morning, what do we see? We see the songs. Everything lines up with what God is doing in the service. We call that the Holy Spirit. He can do a whole lot more than we can, amen? But a few years back, Kim and I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., something I highly recommend. There's just, you know, people can say all they want, this nation wasn't founded on biblical principles, but you go look at the monuments, you see scripture ingrained in stone. You see famous speeches ingrained at places and chiseled in on monuments and stuff that read more like a sermon than a presidential speech. I stood and read some of them and like, wow, wouldn't that be nice to see a president get up and talk like that? But part of our trip, we got a chance to go to the Korean War Monument, and there's a place there where engraved in stone, polished stone, this monument to people that laid down their lives is this statement: freedom is not free. I thought it was kind of humorous. As we were there visiting that monument and looking at that, there was a young lady in front of us, and yes, she had blonde hair. But she said, it was really one of those almost stereotypical things. I just hate it when people say that. And she was talking about freedom is not free. And I thought, she just doesn't have a clue what is being said there. I'm sure in her mind she was saying that we're not really free. No, what was being said that she didn't understand was that freedom isn't free. That's when we're free, it's because somebody paid the price for us to be free. See, she had no clue, I don't think, of the price that was paid. She probably didn't really understand that her freedom was bought through blood. And it bothers me that I kind of see a generation growing up, not all of them, but you see a generation growing up that doesn't comprehend what all went into the rights that we have. People that laid down their lives, people that spilled their blood so that we can be free. See, the ideal freedom that our founding fathers believed in was valuable enough that they themselves risked everything for this freedom. Many of them gave their lives so that we could have freedom. Many of them faced all kinds of difficulties. Many of them started out rich, but through their efforts to make this land a free land, ended up almost paupers. Today, we're here because of the price that was paid. Today, we can gather together in this room, and we're not worried that somebody's going to come busting in the doors and arrest us for gathering together in his name. We can worship freely. We can pursue God freely. Yes, some of those things are under attack, but thank God that we live where we live, that we can live in the comfort and in this safety and in this freedom, but that was bought by blood that was spilled on other soils, even our own. Many of them may have died in forsaken places, but yet we have this freedom that was purchased. In a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to William Smith, dated November 13th, 1787, he said this: "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. No, freedom is not free. The price is always paid in blood." Now think about our nation and our freedom and all the blood that was shed and the lives. And yet, what other nation has existed that has even shed so much blood trying to pay for freedom for some other nation's existence? Instead of conquering territories, we've had a history of trying to liberate territories and let them know what it's like to live in freedom. I know that it's criticized and blamed and talked down upon, but I still remember in my own mind the scene of the people in Iraq the very first time years ago when all of them had, remember the whole deal was on the news where they all had their fingers, they had the blue ink on their fingers where they put their fingerprints down so for the first time they could truly vote in a free election. And they were proudly, even at the danger of their own lives, were proudly showing, "I voted." But this is not the first time blood has been shed for freedom. You know, while we're celebrating over 200 years of our existence, over 2,000 years ago, a young man's blood was spilled so that we could experience freedom. John 8, 34 to 36 says, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." We're free. That ought to do something for us. I know as Christians, so many times we get so used to the idea of being saved. We get so used to the idea of our sins being forgiven. We know it. We have a head knowledge. When's the last time you looked back and really thought about what a miracle that is? We clap and we celebrate when somebody's healed or something happens, and God does those things, and those things are great. But we still need to realize that the greatest miracle of all is the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that I could be free and that you could be free. Later, the Apostle Paul wrote these words regarding the work of Jesus in his setting us free. He said in Romans 8, 2, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of faith set me free from the law of sin and death." We're free. Today we're celebrating our independence and from tyranny. We're in an oppressive government and the independence that was won about 240 years ago. Nonetheless, we celebrate this independence, and even at best, it is a short-lived independence. Now, my prayer is, I'm praying and I'm hoping that I get to live my life out still under this freedom, or that the rapture takes place first. That'd be the best case scenario. And I'm praying that my sons get to live their life out under freedom. But we look around us and a lot of what we believe, a lot of what we cherish is under attack. You know, but shouldn't we sell it? But even at the best, even under the best case scenario, this freedom is a temporary earthly freedom. How much more should we celebrate the fact that we have an eternal freedom that has been bought and paid for? That the tyranny of guilt, the tyranny of sin, fear, and death, there's an independence that was won over 2,000 years ago. While we're celebrating the independence of our nation, there is somewhere here in this room, each and every one of us, if you know Jesus Christ, somewhere along the line, you had a personal Independence Day. You had a day that you realized there is a better way. There is a Savior, and you asked him into your life, and that became your personal Independence Day. And it's not just something that is guaranteed for a short period of time. It is something that is guaranteed for eternity. And we have that. So what is this Independence Day? What are we really celebrating? I know that we shoot off fireworks and we have a good time. And on Monday, tomorrow night, we'll be sitting up out here and you're all invited. We'll be grilling burgers and hot dogs. And kids are going to be jumping on bounce houses. We're going to set up a stage and we're going to have some live music going on. And we're going to celebrate and have a good time of hanging out together. We've got two other churches that are going to join us. And we're just going to have a great time here. And it's going to be great. And then we'll get to watch the City of Rockwall fireworks show. I mean, we have a great view here, just the other side of the tree line. But is that really all we're celebrating? See, some people think of freedom as independence as being able to do their own thing and not being bound by any rules. I just want to do my own thing. Have you ever noticed where that gets you? What does sin do? Sin is just this long downward spiral that just leads us to destruction. And you can stand there at the supermarket checkout counter and read all the stories of all the lives of the people that have it all. And what do you see? Tragedy after tragedy. What does our society do? You see people that have everything, yet their lives get bound up and they spiral out of control, living and doing what they think is free, and then ultimately ends up costing them their lives, and people applaud that like they were something special. Oh, they had such a wonderful life. What? They died of a drug overdose of their own vomit. True. And we see those things. See, that's not freedom. Freedom. It's when you give your life to Christ. There's a freedom there. People see that as a long list of rules and all those things, but it's not what it is. There's a freedom that happens. There's a lightness that comes. We give our life to Christ. We truly sell out. We say, Lord, you can have it all. When we finally reach that place, it's when we're free. I was thinking about that this week and just excited, just all of a sudden, because, you know, I've been saved for quite a few years now, but just looking back and thinking of what he's done in my life and just celebrating that. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to go out of town this next week, and I was realizing that, okay, I've got to get the yard done before we go, and so I got up early on Friday morning because I figured the earlier the better since it's getting so hot in the afternoon, so I got my shorts on and stuff and got out there and began to mow the yard. And as I was mowing, I put in my earbuds and put my phone in my pocket and press shuffle on my Spotify choices. And so some of the Christian music that I have was just beginning to scroll through and random songs coming in and playing. But you know what? It wasn't long until that mowing turned out to be just a good old time. Just shut in with me and my music. It's good. But I'd already been working on this sermon, and some of you that are older, you may understand this, but there's a group that I used to love to listen to by the name of Whiteheart, and they had a song they did years ago called Independence Day. And that song came on. As I'm pushing, and isn't it amazing how music, even if you heard it, even if it's been decades since you heard it, that somehow the music just brings the words back to your memory. And so they're singing the song about Independence Day, and I'm mowing. All of a sudden, I knew what was coming, and I couldn't help myself. I'm mowing. I'm pushing around in circles, and it gets to this part, and I just begin to sing out loud with it. It was just too good. And they sing this line that I thought was so fitting. It says, and I can't hit the notes that this guy can hit. But he started singing, I've been to the land of free. And I know I'm sorry, back up again. I've been to the land of me, but I know I was never free. Freedom came when I gave it all away. Man, I just was. I was just singing loud, and I was just mowing around, walking around in circles, and it just got good to me, and I just, man, it just changed the whole thing, because I got to thinking about what I had been set free from, and what a God had done in my life, and the true freedom, and the joy that we can walk in, knowing that all the stuff of our past isn't held against us, and we're truly free, we're set free. I mean, we can't, that should be something that excites us and raises us up. So I came walking in the house, and I was still kind of singing in a good mood just because, you know, my mowing time was sweat running down me and grass everywhere all over me. I had this time with God, you know, and I said, you know what, I think I'm going to mow that way from now on. It didn't seem like such a chore that way. But I began, came in like that, I was singing, and Kim said, just so you know, she said, I was inside the house, and I could hear you singing out in the backyard over the mower. I thought, oh, well, maybe it'd be a chance to start a conversation with a neighbor. You know, who knows? You know. But freedom from oppression and the evil tyrant is the kind of Independence Day that we're talking about. That's the kind of freedom I can get on board with. Sign me up for that deal. Independence Day for my eternal soul is what Jesus offers. See, today, this morning, as we walk through this, I want to explore three of the ways that Jesus sets us free. Freedom from guilt, freedom from consequence, freedom from accusation. Freedom from guilt. Guilt is a feeling of responsibility or remorse of some offense or crime or wrong, whether real or imagined. Ever seen people that are just so weighted down by guilt? They just can't even hardly function. It just is like this stuff they drag around with them, and they just, you know, you kind of want to hear the old slavery songs, you know, kind of this cloud following them around wherever they go. And it's because they've been dragging around this past, this weight. You know, they've done things in the past, and they're weighed down by that, and they've hurt others, and other people have hurt them, and they just can't seem to let go of that and let go of the guilt. Maybe they've failed miserably in some way in the past, or they've failed in a marriage, or they've failed at parenting, or they failed financially. Or this, we could go down the list of all kinds of ways we could fail. Maybe you failed at religion. Maybe say, I tried this once before, but I didn't make a very good Christian. Somewhere along the line, I fell away and made mistakes because it's so hard for me to keep all those rules. I mean, I heard people say that. See, but when it becomes relationship instead of religion, the rules are easier to follow. Scripture says that he will write his law on our heart. So there's a difference between having the law here and having the law here. When we have the law here, it's a joy. Because I love my Lord and Savior that paid that price for me enough that I don't like the idea of doing something that's going to break his heart towards me. I want to please my Father. I like the idea of him looking down and smiling on something that I do. And so because of that, there's a lot of things that used to be a temptation for me that aren't really so much anymore because I value my relationship with him more than the momentary pleasures I can get from something else. Plus, I've seen where that stuff leads. Maybe you feel like you failed and there's guilt of your failures and your poor choices and you're dragging those things around. Let me give you some good news. Romans 4, 7 and 8. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. I don't know about you, I'm looking around the room, and I'm not seeing any horrible, terrible people here, but how many know we've all got those things we're a little ashamed of? I love the idea that my worst moments will never be held against me. See, the key word here is forgiven. Forgiveness is a powerful, powerful thing. There's a little boy and his sister that every summer would go and stay at the grandfather's house. He owned a farm. So the little boy would excited and have it. And of course, they had some chores and stuff to do during the summer to help out a little bit. But it was something they looked forward to just because of all the things they got to do. And so this particular summer, when the little boy arrived, the the grandfather presented him with a slingshot. Have you ever had a slingshot growing up? I had one. It was cool. I lost it one day when the next door neighbor's dog used to bark, 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 bark. I shot the dog and got caught doing it, so. So there, there's one of my little sins in the closet, so. This little boy was having a blast out on the farm with just shooting the slingshot, you know, and he was doing stuff. He wasn't that good, missing more than he was hitting, but he was just having a blast doing it. And his grandfather owned some ducks, and he had this one Drake Mallard duck that he really, really loved. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, you ever see one that's just beautiful? I mean, the greenish black in the head, and it's all the feathers. This beautiful duck. And he said, he's shooting around. The duck comes around the corner, and he turns, and he shoots, not expecting to hit the duck, but he hit the duck, and the duck is motionless. It's dead. Oh, no. So he decides, you know what? There are some wild animals on the outskirts of the farm, so I'll just kind of take the duck out in the woods, and I'll kind of lay it to rest, and I just won't say anything, you know. Where's the duck? One small problem to his plan. His sister saw the whole thing. And so his sister comes up to him and says, I saw what you did. And so here's the deal. If you don't want me to tell Grandpa, you're going to have to do my chores too all summer. And so she made him, in a sense, her slave. And so for a while, this went on, and he's doing her chores and everything that he was doing his, and everything she was supposed to do, he was doing it too. And so finally, after a bit of time, the little boy said, I've had all this I can take. And finally said, you know what? This is worse than telling Grandpa what I did. So between that and a little guilty, finally he goes up to his grandpa, and he's stumbling around, and finally he gets the words out and said, Dad, Grandpa, you know that duck, I killed it with the slingshot you gave me. His grandfather looks at him with love in his eyes and says, I know, son. I saw it when it happened. I saw that your sister saw too. And I was wondering how long you were going to be her slave until you finally came and asked for forgiveness. Isn't that a lot like us? We carry our guilt, we carry our stuff around, and we become a slave to the enemy and a slave to those things, and really all we need to do is just go to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. Because He loves you more than whatever you did wrong. See, and at the moment that little boy confessed it, at the moment he got it out there, all of a sudden the weight was lifted. No longer was he a slave to his sister. He had the forgiveness. His guilt could be gone because it wouldn't be held against him. Ephesians 1:7 says this, New Living Translation. I like the way it worded this. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. See, freedom isn't free. It costs a whole lot. But it was bought for us. See, we're so valuable to Him that forgiveness, while it may have cost him the life of His Son, He willingly paid that price. Jesus willingly laid down His life so that we could be free. He won our freedom. And so this guilt that we're carrying around, we're carrying it around for no reason because there's a place that we can get free rid of. There's a place that we can get free of. There's a way that we can go to and say, Lord, I am a sinner. And He says, I know. I was watching you the whole time. But He can take that and set us free from our guilt. There's another freedom in the officers, freedom from consequence. The effect Consequence is the effect or the result, so the outcome of something occurring earlier. You know, we all know that if we break the law, there's consequences. We live in Royce City, so we frequent I-30 periodically. I know not lately, but there are times you can actually exceed the speed limit. Most of the time now, though, you can't. It's because of all the construction. But I also know if I exceed the speed limit that there could be a consequence of getting pulled over by the police officer and getting a ticket, right? But yet we can have a freedom from the consequence of our sin. We all know that when the law is broken, we can have consequences of our misdeeds. And I personally have never stood before a judge on the wrong side of the law. I pray I never have to. But I did recently. I had a court appointment last Friday before last for the settling of my dad's estate and everything. So I had to go and get the will probated and everything. So I had a lawyer friend that was helping, and we were there handling that. So I'm standing before the judge, and he's asking questions. We're getting all this done. And so it was a deal. But I looked over to my left, and there was a section of people seated. That was probably 8 or so people in these orange jumpsuits with chains around their wrists, chain going down, and chains around their ankles. They were there, and they were seated, and they were waiting for their turn. And the judge answered the questions. He signed off. He said, "Okay, you and your brother have fulfilled all the legal requirements, and so I'm going to sign off of this." And so he signed, stamped a couple of things, and handed it to the clerk that was seated there at a desk right beside his bench. And so I thanked him, and we stepped over to get the right paperwork and stuff so we could put my dad's house on the market. And so all the stuff we're doing. Well, I didn't hear everything while I was standing there. He calls the name, and then one of the guys in the orange jumpsuits goes walking up in his chains with the lawyer there beside him, and they're talking. And I was hearing a little bit back and forth, but then there was, so I don't know what he did. There was something he had done. There was a consequence for what he did. He was now in jail. But I noticed as the judge was talking to him, and the lawyer said some comments, and the judge handed down a sentence. He said, "Okay, I'm gonna give you 36 days in jail." He starts flipping through his paperwork and he goes, "But I see that you've been in jail over that." He said, "So we're gonna count your time served. You're free to go." Now, he walked in like this. But when that was said, I saw out of the corner of my eye, I saw a head come up and a smile come on his face because he was now free. You see, he was set free from the consequence of what he had done. You know, we will all face judgment someday. The Bible teaches us that. Hebrews 9:27 says, "Just as a man is destined once to die, after that to face judgment." There is a judgment coming. And where there is a judgment, there is a chance for consequence. But what is a consequence? Romans 6:23 makes it pretty clear. "For the wages of sin is death." Death is a pretty severe consequence. I thank God for the comma and the word after the comma. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a gift. Because you know what? Scripture makes it clear we all deserve the first part. What is wages? Wages is what you get paid for doing something. And so the wages of sin is death. Now I know in most cases we look at our wages and we're like, "That's not near enough." But in this case, we're glad we're not getting what we deserve. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, there is a severe consequence for our sin, and that consequence is death. That wage is death. That's the natural byproduct. That's what we deserve. But thank God that he gave us a gift, that he bore the price. You see, God is a God of justice, and justice had to be served, and the price had to be paid. But the idea that somebody would come along and say, I will pay that price for you, means that we are set free. What God has dealt with our consequences. What did he say? In John 19, it tells the story when he hung on the cross, paying that price, and it was all wrapped up. He uttered those words, it is finished. Now, the original word there, and I've preached on that in the past, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there, but the original word there, while it's properly translated, it is finished, but it was also a term that was used for legal transactions and for things. So if somebody owed a debt and the debt was paid in full, that original word was scrolled at the top of the document saying, this debt is finished, it is done, it is paid for, it is laid to rest. When somebody was being purchased out of slavery, that same word was put at the top of the document saying their slavery is finished. So when he said it is finished, he was saying your debt is paid. The consequence of your sin is paid. You were once the slave to sin. Now you are set free. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid that debt in full. And don't misunderstand me. We may still face some consequences. If you mess up something, we may still have some things in this earth that we have to deal with because of a mistake that we made. How many know that even God has a way of even taking those things in our life that we have to carry with us and turning them into something good? We give our life to him. But the greatest part, there may be some temporary consequences on this earth, but the eternal consequence of our sin, we are completely, absolutely free from that. Freedom from guilt, our past can't haunt us. We're free from the ultimate consequence of our sinful lives. Our debt is paid. Which brings me to the last one, freedom from accusation. What is accusation? A change of wrongdoing, an accusation or guilt or blame. Colossians 1 and 22 says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. How nice is it not to have to run and hide? You know, people all the time, you see it, if they're accused of something and they see their pictures blasted up and people are hunting for them and they're on the run and they're all this stuff happening and you know, somebody hears, there's a warrant out for your arrest, and so they're ducking phone calls, they're not answering doors and all these things that happen. How nice is it to know that we're free from accusation? We don't have to run and hide. We don't have to worry about somebody else finding out something about us. Oh, I'm sure we've all got things we don't want everybody to know about. But even if they find out, it could be, yeah, I know, but I once was, and now I am. I want to do something for just a moment. I want to paint a picture. And I know, if you give me a little freedom here this morning, I know that what I'm about to do could be picked apart. I realize that there is a judgment coming. I realize that it's not exactly like this. I realize that the wicked are going to be judged separate from the righteous. I understand that. But there is a judgment coming. And so if you give me a little, so don't come up and say, well, now you're a little off on this. I know. But I want you to picture a court scene, because there is a judgment day coming. And God is the judge, and Scripture tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And so I can almost picture in my mind, we're waiting in line, kind of like I did when I was going to the courthouse to take care of my dad's stuff and finishing that up. I can almost picture in eternity, this scene, people waiting and stuff transpiring. And perhaps before you're called up there, there's a scene where somebody in chains comes up and they're standing before the judge, and the accuser is just laying out all the things they did. Man, they did this, they were a liar, they were a cheater, they were an adulterer, they, you know, running down the list and just, and the judgment being handed down. Not just death in this life, but Scripture teaches us that there's a second death. And it describes it as the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, we live in Texas, right? And we're mowing, or I'm mowing, early in the morning to try to avoid some of that heat. So the idea of fiery lake of burning sulfur doesn't sound too appealing to me. I'm thinking summer afternoons are bad enough. And we watch this judgment take place and the sentence being laid out, and we're thinking, oh my goodness. And then we're called up next. And we're there, and there's the judge, and the accuser starts. Oh, they were this, they were that. Remember that thing you got buried back in your closet there somewhere that you did? And he starts calling these things out. And I just picture all of a sudden our representative shows up. And he's clothed in white. And he looks a little bit like a sacrificial lamb. And he shows up and all the blame is being laid out. And we're asked what our defense is. And he just quietly takes off his righteousness. And he puts his cloak around us as he clothes us in his righteousness. And the judge looks down and sees his righteousness. And we're declared not guilty. We're declared free from consequence. The accuser is shut up because there is nothing he can say to accuse us against that righteousness. Well, that felt good, didn't it? And then it gets even better according to Revelation 12. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's the freedom we have. And so we celebrate our Nation's Independence Day, we can also celebrate our personal spiritual Independence Day. That we are free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes, hallelujah. I'm going to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. I know a lot of you that are here, and I know that many of you are devoted followers of Christ. But I also know that I never want to be guilty of laying out a message like this and not giving somebody the opportunity, if they've never had their personal Independence Day, to give their life to Christ. Because you never know, there might be somebody that you're here today and you've been at church and you know these things, you've heard these things before, but for whatever reason, never fully said, Lord, I want that kind of relationship with you. I want to give my life to you. Or maybe you're here and at some point in your life you have and you did, but circumstances has kind of pulled you away from following Christ. You realize that there's a barrier of things. You realize that I'm just not where I need to be, and I kind of need to rededicate my life as a follower of Christ this morning. If you're either one of those, my goal today is not to put you on the spot, other than I do know that there has to be some kind of acknowledgement of your need. Everybody that's in this room that is serving Christ at some point made this same decision. At some point they had their moment of encounter and it became their personal Independence Day. So if you're here and you fit within either one of those categories, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you this morning. Everybody's head's bowed, everybody's eyes are closed, but if that's you, would you just lift your hand and say, you know what, I need to give my life to Christ. I've never done it, or I need to recommit. Anybody at all? I don't want to miss this opportunity. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that bravery. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Well, I don't want to, like I said, I told you I wasn't going to make a spectacle, so I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. And I want us just to pray this prayer out loud. For those that raise your hand, just pray this prayer, and I promise you, if you mean it with all your heart, something wonderful is going to happen. Today will be July 3rd, 2016. Will be your personal Independence Day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for paying the price so that I could be free. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. You took that upon yourself when you died on the cross for my sins. So Jesus, today, acknowledging that you are Lord, that you are the very Son of God, I give my life to you. And I ask you to come in and take away my sin and to set me free. And Lord, help me to live for you the rest of my life. To no longer chase after my own dreams, but to make your dreams my dreams and to follow you with all my heart. From this day on, you're my Lord, my Savior, and my very best friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to challenge you as we go through this season just to walk around with your head lifted up a little bit and celebrate your personal independence. Let the joy of your salvation creep back in again. You may have been saved for a long, long time, but there still should be some joy bubbling around there somewhere where you can say, man, I am free. I am free. Amen. God bless you. Happy Independence Day. Don't forget, 7 o'clock tomorrow, if you could join us, we'd love to have you.
Shout if you believe it tonight. Come on, everybody.